Matthew chapter 24 is an extremely important chapter with regard to the events that will precede the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In response to the question, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of thy coming, posed by one of the disciples, the Savior went on to explain that the days prior to his coming would be days of war and rumors of war. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks in Matthew 24 of earthquakes and pestilence and disease and famine, and of nation rising against nation, and there will be great turmoil, great loss of life, and great tribulation. And over against those physical events, the Savior also outlined that there would be many spiritual signs that would precede his second coming. One of those will be the appearance and the influence and the ministry of false prophets. Now, there have always been false prophets in the world. I think of men like Balaam, who desired in his heart to curse Israel, even though he knew that God's will was for them to be blessed. You have men like the prophets who wrongly advised Ahab and Jehoshaphat that they could go up to battle. Men like Elimas the sorcerer, who tried to turn the deputy away from the faith. And there never has been a shortage of men who pretend to be one thing, but who are in reality the complete opposite. But as we approach the end of time, there will be a greater number of false prophets. They will appear with a greater boldness. They will exercise a greater influence. They will have a greater following. And they will engage in greater signs and greater lying wonders. The last days will see an explosion of that kind of activity spoken of there by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, when he said, "There shall be false teachers among you, who privily or craftily shall bring in damnable heresies." You know, no Christian with any modicum of sense could fail to understand that we are living in the days described for us in Matthew chapter 24. There are already many false and deceitful prophets in this world. There are many men who have gone out under the guise of Christianity, men who pretend to be sent of God, men who purport to minister in God's name, men who claim to be doing God's work, men who present themselves as if they had a monopoly on God's power. But the fact of the matter is that they have never been sent by God, and instead of doing God's work, they are actively engaged in undermining the gospel and deceiving countless precious souls on the way. One of the leading men in this camp is this man by the name of Benny Hinn. Hinn is an American tele-evangelist. He's a very prominent charismatic leader. He is the head of a media business that pulled in almost $89 million in 2002. He appears on television in 190 different countries, and his daytime program entitled This Is Your Day draws average audiences in excess of millions. He is a world-renowned religious figure. But for all of that, nothing must hide the fact that Benny Hinn is another false prophet in a long line of false prophets. When you begin to examine Hinn's ministry, when you begin to examine his message, it becomes clear that he neither speaks nor acts according to the Word of God. And remember, the great test of all men is found there in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, that is the Word of God, it is because there is no light in them. And Benny Hinn must be viewed in that light. In Matthew 7 verse 15, Christ pointedly said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, a more apt description could not be given of Benny Hinn. Hinn is an accomplished deceiver. He masquerades as a prophet from God, but he is better described as a prophet against God. And what makes that all more relevant for an Ulster congregation is the fact, as I've mentioned, that he is appearing. I don't use the word preaching. But he is appearing, there's no other word for it, in the Odyssey Arena in Belfast on Friday and Saturday night of this week. And what is billed as a healing crusade, him and his team are conducting two miracle services, that's how they're described on their literature, and they're expecting to draw capacity crowds to the Odyssey Arena. No doubt the arena will be filled. No doubt many will come expecting great things. There will be an intensive interest in what is taking place. But let none of the hype, none of the pomp, none of the ceremony that goes with these kind of events, let none of that hype detract from the fact that this man is not coming with a message from God, and he's certainly not coming with a ministry that pleases the Lord. It's never an easy thing to deal with that kind of subject. And when you come to this kind of theme, you're accused of being negative and uncharitable and unchristian and everything else. But when a man comes to the country and he presents another gospel and he presents another Christ and he promotes another spirit, then not only must the Christian minister have no fellowship with him and have nothing to do with his unfruitful works of darkness, but the Christian minister, if he is to remain faithful to God, must also reprove him. Silence is not really an option. A word of warning must be sounded and a word of instruction must be given. And it's my contention that Benny Hinn is not a man of God who will do any good in Ulster, but rather he's a wolf in sheep's clothing who will do untold harm. Let me give you some reasons or some background to this man, to his ministry and to his message. Let me think with you first of all on the character of Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn was born 52 years ago in Israel, and he was raised in a Greek Orthodox home. When he was 14 or 15, he and his parents moved to Toronto, and Hinn was enrolled in a local school. By this time in his life, he was already claiming that God had been appearing to him for the past 3 or 4 years of his life. He had numerous visions, numerous dreams. And in one of those, he saw himself standing preaching before a vast crowd. Now, it was during those formative years of his life that he changed from Greek Orthodoxy to Pentecostalism. And then at the age of 20, some 9 years after supposedly God first appeared to him, Benny Hinn claimed that he was born again. The details of his professed conversion are pretty sketchy. But a year later, when he was 21 years of age, he spoke of having a profound spiritual experience. From that moment on, his life went in a different direction from that which he had planned for himself. He left college, he left university, and he became a traveling evangelist, moving especially around America and at times venturing into Canada as well. In 1983, he formed the Orlando Christian Center in Florida. And while there, he eventually built a 7,000-seater church. During those years of ministry down in Florida, he began to appear on television, and he was assisted by some friends at the Trinity Broadcasting Network. He also commenced monthly healing services or crusades. And in those monthly healing crusades, he attracted upwards of 50 to 60,000 people each time. Now, as his success continued, Hinn took the decision to resign from the pastoral ministry and concentrate on his crusades full time. He eventually moved headquarters, employed more staff, travelled more widely, organised more meetings, purchased more television airtime, and all the while increased his profile at home and abroad. A few bestsellers were added in at this time, and Benny Hinn soon became renowned as a leading charismatic faith healer across the world. A man who respected, or who gained the respect, of millions of people. It's estimated, and I'm indebted to some of the information that appears on the website, and also the Reverend Brown in our Londonderry church, it's estimated that from his broadcasting centre in Orange County, Hinn's This Is Your Day, that's his television programme, is one of the most watched Christian TV programmes in the world. with viewers in 190 countries. In America alone, it runs on purchased airtime more than 200 times each week on 80 stations. The shows are translated into Spanish, Norwegian, Romanian, Italian, Hindu, and Tamil. Now, from a purely human standpoint, it all sounds very successful. It all sounds very impressive. It all sounds very good. But the Benny Hinn story demands a closer examination. Always keep in mind that this man presents himself as a man under the anointing of God. And as we are to try the spirits, it's important that we look a little closer at the character and the life of Benny Hinn. When you do that, two thoughts emerge. Ponder the people who have influenced him. Hinn makes no apology for speaking of a late faith healer called Catherine Kuhlman as his mentor. One commentator claimed that Hinn has long been infatuated with Catherine Kuhlman. He maintains that he was anointed at one of her faith healing services in 1973, and that her mantle fell on him some years later. Catherine Kuhlman had a remarkable influence on this man. He conducts his services, his healing crusades, along the same lines as she conducted hers. He visits her grave reasonably often. In fact, he's one of the few men to have a key to her grave. His books, his sermons are replete with references to her ministry. And most recently, Hinn has spoken of her appearing in one of his visions. According to one report carried on a website, it was stated that Hinn recently claimed that he was shown the future of his ministry from Kuhlman and Jesus in what was described as a vision of the night. He recalled this alleged vision in a television program or a partner conference in Atlanta. And also to those who watch This Is Your Day program on June 11, 1997. He said, speaking of this alleged vision that he had, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord showed me a vision. I had a vision of the night. I saw myself walk into a room and there stood Catherine Kuhlman and she said, 'Follow me.' That's all she said. And I followed her to a second room. In that second room stood the Lord. And when I saw the Lord, Catherine disappeared. She was just gone. And now the Lord looked at me and said, 'Follow me.' And I followed him to a third room. And in the third room sat a gentleman. This man had a seize in this room, is supposedly ill, and then is miraculously healed." And Hinn goes on with the babbling nonsense, and he said, "Now as the man was healed, the Lord looked at me with piercing eyes. I'll not forget that one, I tell you. He looked at me with piercing eyes and said, 'Do it.' And the dream and the vision came to an end." He went on to interpret that vision or that dream for his faithful followers, and he said this: "When I woke, when I got up, when I came out of the vision, I was trembling and perspiring from head to toe. I know exactly what that vision means. It was Catherine Kuhlman who took me, who introduced me to the Holy Spirit. That is the meaning of that first room when she said, 'Follow me.' But when Catherine was gone, Jesus was there. Catherine did her job." And that's not the only time in this man's ministry when he boasts of the influence of Catherine Kuhlman in his life. It features all the time. And she's not the only one who influenced him. And also speaks glowingly of Amy Semple McPherson, foundation of the Four Square Gospel Church. In 1991, he said that he also visited her grave and experienced strange things. "I felt a terrible anointing," he said. "I was shaking all over, trembling under the power of God. 'Dear God,' I said, 'I feel the anointing. I believe the anointing has lingered over Amy's body.'" And this is the man who claims to be a man of God. This is the man who claims to be a prophet of the Lord, a man who claims to have the anointing of God upon him. Yet he has been influenced by people whose ministry was distinctly charismatic, and he has been influenced right to this day by the bodies of these dead people. He has been guided in a spiritless kind of way by leading charismatics. He's a man who boasts of a strange anointing at the grave of people who obviously have passed away. That sounds more like the occult than anything else. Here's a man prying into the world, the forbidden world of the dead. Lays him open to the charge of necromancy. That's what influences his ministry. There's so little about the Word of God in this man's message and this man's ministry. There's so little about the strivings of the Spirit of God in his own heart, but everything about the influences of other charismatic leaders, the people that have influenced him. We ought to think also about the things that have interested him. Benny Hinn really is a master showman. Few can touch him. Few can touch him for flamboyance. Few can match him for extravagance. He is every bit the performer. And he presents an impressively designed act. He looks the part. He has the drawing power of a big-time celebrity. It begs the question, how does he do it? How does he finance all of this? How does Benny Hinn manage to finance his crusades? Answer: by a less than subtle marketing and money-grabbing program. In one meeting, and I suspect this happens all the time, Hinn is reported to have said, give no less than $100. And then he promises this. He promises to lay hands on all the envelopes and ask God for financial miracles for the givers. So if you want miracles from God, according to Hinn's theology, put as many $100 filled envelopes as possible into the plate, and he will then pray over those and he will lay hands on them for you and ask God to give you financial miracles. He raises millions. Millions during his supposed healing crusades. He gives out seed faith gifts. What that is, I don't really know. But he gives them out in exchange for a pleasant sum of money. And all the while he takes from the unsuspecting and he offers nothing of substance in return. And when you think of that, you can't help but come to the conclusion that this is a money-making enterprise. It's one thing for people to give a free will offering. It's another thing to solicit funds by falsely promising to heal people. It really reeks of racketeering. And the thing that interests this man, and so many like him, in that faith-healing circuit and that faith-healing industry that's abroad out there in the charismatic movement, the thing that interests this man is money. And it seems he has no shortage of willing subscribers. It's a massive business enterprise. These are things about Benny Hinn that are most distasteful. The Word of God does not feature prominently in his life. There are people and principles involved in his life that are extremely questionable. The man does not have a good history. The character of Benny Hinn. But notice, secondly, the crusades of Benny Hinn. Given the unscriptural character of this man, it really comes as no surprise that his ministry, his crusades, his campaigns, his miraculous healing meetings, call those showy events whatever way you like, are marked with deep heresy, marked with blasphemy, and marked with rank dishonesty. Let me break this thought into 2 points. I want you to think on Benny Hinn's beliefs. Benny Hinn's a heretic. And I use that word advisedly. A heretic is one who follows or promotes or presents false doctrine. That's exactly how it is with this American charismatic. He doesn't just make stupid statements, and he does that, and I'll list some of them for you in a moment or two. He doesn't just make stupid statements, though. He makes sinful statements. He doesn't just get it wrong on minor points, though he does do that. He's completely off beam on the fundamentals of the faith. For example, Hinn believes that there are 9 persons in the Godhead. He said, see, God the Father is a person, God the Son is a person, God the Holy Ghost is a person, but each of them is a triune being by himself. If I can shock you, he says, and maybe I should, there's nine of them. Here's a man who believes that there are nine persons in the Godhead. He goes on, he also believes that Christ was capable of sin. In his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, he wrote, and I quote, let me add this. Had the Holy Spirit not been with Jesus, he would have sinned. That's right. It was the Holy Spirit that was the power that kept him pure. He was not only sent from heaven, but he was called the Son of Man, and as such he was capable of sinning. Without the Holy Ghost, Jesus would never have made it. Can you imagine Christ headed for the grave, knowing he would remain there forever, if the Holy Ghost would change his mind about raising him from the dead? Christ can sin, according to Benny Hinn. Christ was able to commit sin, according to this charismatic leader. He believes, of course the Bible teaches, that Christ is impeccable. He was not only able not to sin, he was not able to sin. Benny Hinn turns that on its head and makes a very strong statement. Christ would have sinned. Hinn also believes that Christ became one with the nature of Satan and was born again in hell. On a Trinity Broadcasting Network program, he claimed Jesus knew the only way he would stop Satan is by becoming one in nature with him. On another occasion, he went on to say, the Holy Ghost is just showing me some stuff. I'm getting dizzy. I'm telling you the truth. It's just heavy now on me. He's referring to Jesus here. In the underworld now, God isn't there. The Holy Spirit isn't there. And the Bible says he was begotten. Do you know what the word begotten means? It means reborn. Do you want another shocker? Have you been begotten? So was he. Don't let anyone deceive you. Jesus was reborn. You say, what are you talking about? He was reborn. He had to be reborn. If he was not reborn, I could not be reborn. I could never be reborn. How can I face Jesus and say, Jesus, you went through everything I've gone through except the new birth? It's no wonder one of our preachers in America, Brother Cranston, he preached on this, described him as an absolute babbler. He is. Here he is, ranting and raving. He can hardly get the words out. He's quite prepared to throw in terms like, I'm going to shock you here. And he speaks of Christ having been reborn or experiencing the new birth. Hinn believes that all men are little gods and even part of God, with all the power of God, and that we are little messiahs, everything that Jesus was. He goes on to pursue that devilish nonsense with the words, when you say, I am a Christian, you are saying, I am a little messiah, walking on earth. In other words, you are a little God on earth running around. He once described himself with these words, so I'm Benny Jehovah. On the 6th of December, 1990, on a Praise the Lord show, he said, say after me, within me is a God-man. Say it again, within me is a God-man. Now let's say it even better than that. Let's say, I am a God-man. This spirit man within me is a God-man. Say, I'm born of heaven God-man. I'm a God-man. I'm a super being. That's unmitigated heresy. The man is not only a babbling fool. He actually teaches that Adam could fly and that he flew to the moon. Now that's the kind of nonsense this man comes out with. But he's not only a babbling fool, he's a blaspheming deceiver. He excels in heresy. He presents the most ludicrous nonsense in the name of God. He might mix a little of the word of God in with what he's saying, but there's no disguising the fact that Benny Hinn is so wide of the spiritual mark that he doesn't even merit the title of being a preacher. He's an accomplished heretic. You know what lies at the bottom of all of that? Is Hinn's refusal of the Word of God. To Hinn, the Bible is not enough. He must have special revelation from God. He must be allowed to have a secret message from heaven. He must have a personal word. He must be given himself directly from God, a fresh message, a message that others who are less spiritual in his mind cannot understand and therefore are not trusted with. And of course, that kind of theology puts him in a false but a superior position. He comes before his thousands of people. He comes out with this kind of gibberish. And then he claims, well, God has given me a special revelation of this. God hasn't given it to you folk, but God has come to me in a vision or a dream, and God has given me this, and I have a word from God for you, and therefore you're not to question it. And multitudes have believed him. And they've swallowed his lies, hook, line, and sinker, and they never stop to ask, is this man real? Have his prophecies come true? They never stop to ask, is this really happening? Is he honest? No, they blindly follow him. And with the flesh excited by what they see, they just go on listening and listening and listening and accepting what this man says, because he claims to have a word from God. Why you say he's a heretic. You can weigh any of those statements that I've quoted to you in the Word of God, and him on every case is found wanting. What he believes, how he behaves. His meetings are openly described as healing crusades, and that's a fundamental part of the him mindset. He's on record as saying that there will be no sickness for the saint of God. He's on record as saying God's greatest desire for the Church of Jesus Christ is that we be in total and perfect health. If your body belongs to God, it does not and cannot belong to sickness. No sickness should come your way. That's the basis for his meetings. Now, what happens at one of his crusades? What happens when he moves into town and books a hall or wherever and has a healing crusade? Well, in one of these crusades, and I assume this is true of many others, and I can only go because I've never been to one and I have no intentions of going to one, I can only go by what others have told me. But in the crusades that he has, there's a long period of singing before him ever appears, and there are videos being shown there on the screens. And there's a lot of tongue speaking, or speaking in tongues. And then him will appear on stage as they sing, "How Great Thou Art." All very carefully stage managed, of course, all down to the last minute. And he'll stride out like a film star with his adoring fans watching his every step. And then he'll ask anyone to come forward who wants to believe in Jesus. Hundreds, many in tears, will walk down the aisles to the stage and they'll hear a prayer from him, and then they'll be handed literature that includes a list of nearby churches, and then after more music, him started to recite the healings that he claimed were taking place throughout the arena. And within a 10-minute period, he proclaimed that those who had asthma and those who had cancerous tumours and arthritis and leukemia and 20 other ailments or so had all been cured. And that's how he conducts his meetings. I was struck with a remarkable tale. And there are so many examples of this. You really could be here all night and I could just list example after example after example of some of the things that this man has said and some of the things that this man has claimed. I mentioned on the Lord's Day the fact that he claimed that if you brought your dead loved ones to the television screen and put their hands on the screen, that they would be raised to life again. That's the kind of thing that this man presents as truth. But I was really struck just today when I read this tale that he mentioned to his faithful followers. He said on the Laurie King show, Benny shared a story about him being sick with a head cold. He claimed that he turned on the TV and he saw his own program. Right, you just get the picture here in your mind. Benny Hinn's at home, he's sick, he's got a cold. He decides he'll turn on the television, and when he turns on the television, his own program is on. He explained, "I had a terrible cold one day. Oh, it was terrible. I couldn't breathe. It was terrible. I turned on my program and watched myself saying, 'Stretch your hands.' And I thought, oh, I thought to myself, so stupid, you know, for me to go and actually put my hands." And he actually, when he's sitting at home with the cold, watching himself on television, telling people to stretch forth their hands, he actually put his own hands to his television screen. And suddenly, he says, "The Lord really spoke to me in my heart and said, 'The man on television is my anointed servant.' I went over and put my hands on the screen, and yes, I got healed." That's the stuff of madmen. This is what this man believes. This is what this man quite openly, quite publicly presents to people as if it was the truth. And the amazing thing, if anything is more amazing than a man himself could come out with that kind of nonsense, the amazing thing is people believe him. People actually believe this man. It's very strange that despite all of his claims of healing, he started up a miracle follow-up department in 1992. Why does he start up a miracle follow-up department? Well, to encourage people to get checked out by their doctors before they stop using their medication. These are folk who have come to his healing services and supposedly have been healed, and he sets up this miracle follow-up department just to tell them, go and see a doctor first of all. And even there, there's the strong inference that his healing services are just a sham. It's also significant that him himself has a heart condition, an unhealed heart condition, and that his parents have suffered serious medical problems. See, the whole thing doesn't tie up. The whole thing doesn't make logical sense. The whole thing isn't even reasonable. And it's certainly not scriptural. Doesn't seem to matter to Benny Hinn that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh that the Lord did not remove from him. Doesn't seem to matter to Benny Hinn that Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletum. He didn't heal him. It doesn't seem to matter to Benny Hinn that Lazarus, whom Christ loved, was sick. Doesn't seem to matter to Benny Hinn that many of the godliest men who ever lived and labored in the gospel were men who had very poor health. His nonsense that God's greatest desire for the Church of Jesus Christ is that we be in total and perfect health, and his nonsense that your body belongs to God, it does not and cannot belong to sickness, and that no sickness should come your way, just is not supported in Scripture. Christians, the best of Christians, can take sick. You know, you could go on and on and on, mentioning the fact that in his crusades, Hinn claims people are slain in the spirit. That's the common stuff in charismatic circles. The leader touches people on the head. He calls them forward, those who want to give their life to the Lord, or those who want to do whatever kind of thing that they want to do, and to appeal in all kinds of way, and then they stream up to the front. And the leader touches them on the head and they fall back. It's a Toronto blessing kind of scenario. I've seen that on video where people just go up to the front and those men involved in Toronto blessing just touch them and down they go. And that's how it was in Benny Hinn's crusades. He'll touch them on their head or on their shoulders and then they'll fall down, apparently slain in the spirit. And Hinn does the same, only this time he boasts, of course, he has to go a little further than most charismatics. It doesn't do if people think that you're just on the same level as others. What's the attraction? He'll go a little further than these other men, and he'll say that he can actually blow you down. You just have to come up near him, and he'll blow on your forehead, or he'll just touch you very lightly. Or in some cases, he'll take off his spirit-anointed jacket, and he'll wave it around like a flag, like a red flag to a bull, and as he waves it around, people will just fall to the ground. And this is all done in the name of the Spirit of God. This man is pretending to be coming along in the name of the Savior, in the name of the Spirit of God, and as he waves his jacket around, people are just falling all around him. I'm not going to take much time to expose that kind of nonsense. I don't deny that people fall down. I don't accept for one moment as that's the power of God. Him is energized by another spirit. That's not the work of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God cannot be waved about like some red flag. He's not at the whim and fancy of a mega star like him. The Spirit of God is not controlled by man. It's a wretched heresy. It denies the proper work of the Spirit of the Lord, which is to exalt Christ, convince of sin, and awaken sinners to their need of Christ. Him has it all wrong. Completely and utterly wrong. And you can go on and on and on. And the material about this man is almost endless. But he's going to bring it all to Belfast with him. This fraudster, this con man, this wolf in sheep's clothing, he'll bring it to Belfast, all of his nonsense, all of his deception, all of his dishonesty, all of his blasphemy, all of his heresy, and people will listen to him. And imagine that what they're seeing and what they're listening to is of God. Benny Hinn is not a man of God. The character of Benny Hinn and the crusades of Benny Hinn, think about the confusion of Benny Hinn. What can you say about the impact of Hinn's ministry? Well, there are three things here. One, his ministry deceives. His ministry deceives. It's another gospel. This man preaches another gospel. And you know what Galatians 1, verse 6 and verse 8 speaks of those who preach another gospel. Paul is most dogmatic in these statements when he says there, but though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What was Paul's message? Christ died for our sins and Christ rose again for our justification. Paul was not going around waving his jacket around Athens or any of the other cities that he visited. He was not speaking of slaying people in the spirit. He was not having healing crusades and miracle meetings. Paul was there to preach the gospel. And this man is not coming to preach the gospel. He's coming to deceive. His ministry is a ministry of deception. And we need to understand that. He's not the only one, of course. There have been numerous others who have come with a message and a ministry that's not of God. His ministry deceives. His ministry disappoints. There's been a catalogue of people who have gone to Hinn's healing crusades with some kind of sickness, some kind of ailment, some kind of paralysis, and they've been brought to the front. And they've had this man touch them, or speak to them, or pray over them, or something like that. And they've been told that you healed. In one case, 4 weeks later, the lady who had cancer died of cancer. The man is one massive disappointment. Builds up the hopes of those who go to hear him, and he can do nothing for them. And while he deceives, he also disappoints. Christ is not a disappointment. Christ is everything to us. It's not always the Lord's will to heal people of their sickness. Hinn believes it is. Hinn believes he shouldn't have any sickness. And his ministry is a ministry of disappointment. His ministry also diverts. People are taken up with this kind of thing. You know, it's a strange thing that people would far rather go to that kind of service where there's all kinds of questionable things going on, and the man is taking as much money as he can get, and all kinds of antics in the platform, and no kind of verifying of what takes place. But people would rather go to that kind of thing and go to a church where Christ is preached. And he diverts attention. He leads people down this road that he has the gifts of the Spirit, that he is able to do this. He is able to change your life. And all the while, people are drawn away from the true answer, from Jesus Christ himself. His ministry diverts. It leads to unmitigated disaster. And my friend, we need to see our country saved from such a thing. What we need is to experience a revival of true religion. Not some counterfeit work that produces disaster in the hearts and the minds and the lives of unsuspecting sinners, and I suppose there'll be some unsuspecting Christians too. We need God to move in a mighty way, that souls will be genuinely saved, brought into Christ, brought into a union with Christ, and live their life in acceptance of His will for their lives and in surrender to Him. Ulster is not well served by the likes of Benny Hinn. And may God in His mercy preserve us from such folly, such heresy, such blasphemy in these days, for Jesus' sake. I trust the Lord will bless His word. The Lord will give us an understanding of these things. We've skipped over these matters reasonably quickly tonight. I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts. And we need to see